Good morning, everyone, and welcome to church this very rainy morning. Very rainy morning. Eric and I have decided that we play a song at the start of the service just to calm our minds and let us remove ourselves from the stress of getting here and rushing here. And in this particular one, it's called The King of Love, My Shepherd Is. It's a good intro into the sermon today, which is I Am the Good Shepherd. So that was a good intro. There's another version at the end as we walk out, but it's completely different, isn't it, Eric? Completely different. So, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
From Revelations 4:11 we read, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honour and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." And from Psalm 95, "O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth, the heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and the dry land which his hands have formed. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his land. Oh, that you would listen to his voice." And to add to that, then, we can now sing, "Praise my soul, the King of Heaven." Please be seated. We are the people of God. The scripture reminds us that we still sin. We need to confess our failures, knowing that Jesus has died for us and intercedes for us with the Father, who freely forgives us. So from Psalm 51, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me." And further in Psalm 51, "The sacrifice accepted to God is a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." So let us draw near to God with sincerity and confidence and pray together. Heavenly Father, you have loved us with an everlasting love, but we have gone our own way and broken your laws in our thoughts, words and deeds, and in what we have failed to do. We are sorry for our sins and turn away from them. For the sake of your Son who died for us, forgive us, cleanse us and change us. By your Holy Spirit, enable us to live for you and to bring you honour and glory in all we do. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. From 1 John 1 verses 8 and 9, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Please join me in the prayer of thanksgiving. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we humbly thank you for all your gifts so freely given, for life and health and safety, for work and rest and friendship, and for the wonder of creation. Above all, we praise you for our Saviour, Jesus Christ, for his death and resurrection, for your life-giving spirit and the hope of sharing in your glory. Fill our hearts with all joy and peace in believing, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And could you please stand and join with me in the Apostles' Creed? What do we believe? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. So please remain standing while we have our second song, Hear Our Prayer. Please be seated. Imogen will now come and pray for us.
All right. We have the opportunity to speak with the Lord God our Father. Got to go down a bit. And this is the collect for the third ordinary Sunday. But it's a bit, I don't know, it doesn't seem very ordinary. It's a bit rainy. The third rainy Sunday. Let us pray to have life more abundantly. Set us free, O God, from the bondage of our sins. And give us, we pray, the liberty of that abundant life which you have made known to us in your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Will you pray with me? Good morning, Father. There is always so much to talk with you about, and sometimes that makes it really difficult to even know where to start. So as we take time this morning to just quieten our minds and be with you, will you send the Holy Spirit to help us to speak with you? Will you help us to feel your presence this morning, reminding us that you are our God, who has made promises to always be faithful, always to listen to us, and who absolutely has the power to act in this world. Remind us who you are this morning, and remind us who we are, your beloved sheep, known, protected, and loved more deeply than we can imagine. God, it seems like the world is destabilizing at a rate of knots, and not just in ways that we read about in the news and it's affecting people overseas, but it seems to be really hitting home. War, global food shortages, corruption, inflation, the distress and discord around abortion in the States at the moment, COVID still with us, earthquakes and flooding, and even iceberg lettuce is really expensive. Father, it's difficult to be looking at all of that and looking at the world and feel a sense of optimism and hope, and actually sometimes it's a bit hard not to feel a slight sense of panic at this kind of entropy that seems so present. And in all of that, what and who do we pray for? For the people of Ukraine, both those who are displaced and those who remain fighting, for the neighbouring countries of Ukraine who must be feeling enormous pressures, for the Russian people, that they would know what's actually going on and that truth would be a strong voice. How should we pray for global leaders who are confronting increasing partisanship and pretty unforgiving and swift criticism from the public in what are really complex times? How do we pray for aid organisations who are trying to work out where to direct limited resources for those who are working so hard to restore lives in India after the flooding? For people caught in abject poverty who are experiencing the impacts of the conflict and disruption to trade and industry and can't feed their families? How do we pray for women and children and some men caught in situations of domestic violence? And how do we even start to pray about and for people who are impacted by the American Supreme Court's decision about Roe and Wade? How do we pray for all the people who we know do not know you, and for all the people who choose not to know you and don't want to know you? How do we pray for this sin in the world that seems so black and strong? How do we pray for single parents and people on minimum wage and other people wondering what to do as inflation rises and indexation doesn't seem to match it? How do we pray for our healthcare workers in Australia and around the world who are still battling COVID, exhausted and burnt out when the rest of us seem to have been able to move on? How do we pray for our new government when we think about all of this, apart from that you will give them the wisdom of Solomon, the patience of Job, and unprecedented collegiality? Father, like, this is just scratching the surface. There is so much more. And so we sit now and we let this rise in our hearts to you, not really knowing what or how to pray exactly, but trusting in the translation power of your Spirit. And we acknowledge, God, that there are complex emotions that come with this. And right now we may be feeling anger or fear or doubt that you are going to do anything about it, or that you're working in many of these situations. And although we know that that's not true, sometimes we feel it. But as we sit in this place of discomfort, we remember your love for this world. We remember that you know way more than we ever can the exact extent and details of the way things are broken. And we remember that this is exactly why you came to live among us, and why Jesus, why you died for us, our good shepherd. And we remember that you are truly the light in this terrible darkness. You are the true hope to which we are welcome to cling to. We remember your promises, Jesus, that things are going to get bad, worse than this. And we also remember that you promise us that you will never, never, never abandon us, that you are faithful and powerful. And we zoom out and we remember this bigger picture. Holy Spirit, can you please inject a core of peace into us? Because we know, praise Jesus, that we are standing on solid rock that can never be shifted or blown up. Nope. We are children of the King of Kings, and we belong to a bigger picture than the ones we read about in the news. So, help us, Spirit, not only to walk through this next week with this truth and peace in our lives, this remembering not only of the terrible things in this world, but of your power and your love. But we also pray that we would take opportunities to share this great, true, and everlasting news with those around us. Help us not to be lukewarm for you, Jesus, but to be hot, to live for you and love you more and more each day. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you, Imogen. Stand now for our next song, I Have Decided.
I have to sing too, but following the voice of Adam Shepherd, just to keep it there.
Please take a seat. Thank you, Father, for making yourself known to us and for showing us the way of salvation through faith in your Son. We ask you now to teach and encourage us through your word so that we may be ready to serve you for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Our Old Testament reading this morning is Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. The gospel reading is from John chapter 10, beginning at verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. Again, the Jews were divided because of these words. Many of them were saying, "He has a demon and is out of his mind. Why listen to him?" Others were saying, "These are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone. How are you? I heard the answer I wanted. The response that most people give to the question, "How are you?" is, "I'm good." What is your response when your host or hostess offers you more food? Some express their current state of satisfaction with the words, "No, I'm good." On a sliding scale between brilliant and terrible, how would you describe your ability to, for example, drive a car, or sail a yacht, or sing a song, or bake a cake, whatever your talent is? Some people might want to humbly say, "Well, I'm good, but I'm not great." Which brings me to the question, what was Jesus thinking when he said, "I am the good shepherd"? We are in a sermon series that looks at all the I am statements of Jesus, and these are simple statements of sublime significance. We've heard Jesus say, "I am the bread of life," and "I am the light of the world." Last week we looked at the first part of John 10, where Jesus described himself as a shepherd who is the gate of the sheep. And this week we continue in John 10 with Jesus' claim to be the good shepherd. What does Jesus mean by that, and how can it help us in our Christian lives? Well, as always, before we try to answer those questions, we ask God to guide and teach us. Let's pray. Almighty God and Father, please again open our eyes that we may see your truth, open our minds to understand it through your Spirit, and open our hearts to receive it, and by the power of your Spirit, help us to apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd," he is making a statement. Is he making a statement of ability or morality? "I am the good shepherd." Or is it something else entirely? Well, Jesus didn't say, I'm a good shepherd, but I'm not a great shepherd. Didn't say it like that. It wasn't an ability thing. Yet he was comparing his ability with other shepherds in one sense. Both morally and technically, Jesus was better than all other contenders. In a field of bad shepherds, pun intended, Jesus was the only good one. But what are the parameters of being a good shepherd? It seems that the primary parameter is your connection with the sheep. Bad shepherds didn't have a good connection with their sheep. They neither owned the sheep nor cared about them. In John 10:12 it says, "The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them." The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. The good shepherd knows the sheep are his treasured possession, and he is prepared to demonstrate his limitless passion for them because he cares for them. The Bible tells us that we are God's treasured possession. It's an interesting phrase in the Hebrew. It's what a king like David or Solomon might say when they have the national wealth in their treasury, but they have set aside their own personal bank account, their treasured possession. It is what is theirs and theirs alone. And God says we are his treasured possession. In Deuteronomy 14:12, "For you are a people holy to the Lord." Sorry, 14:2, not 12. "For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. It is you the Lord has chosen out of all the peoples on earth to be his people, his treasured possession." The Bible also has many references to us being God's sheep. Psalm 100, verse 3. "Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his people, and the sheep of his pasture." And that's just one of many. Jesus reminds us then how valuable we are to God, even as lost sheep. Luke 15, we know the story well. Jesus says, "Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbours, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.'" The Good Shepherd shares that same passion for his lost sheep. In Luke 19, verse 10, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." How many lost sheep is Jesus looking for? Just one or two? A handful? Billions. All of us. Isaiah 53:6 says, "All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have all turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." The Good Shepherd came to seek and to save all of us. In that sense, that was his desire, for God does not desire the death of a sinner, but would rather they turn from their wickedness and live. But the question remains, how does he save us? And John answers that in John 10:11, "The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep," for his sheep that he loves, that is his treasured possession. God has limitless passion for his sheep, and he constantly demonstrates his love for them. In Romans 5:8, God proves, or God demonstrates his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And that is what makes Jesus the good shepherd. John 10:14, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep." Jesus knows and loves us just like Psalm 139 tells us that God knows and loves us intimately, knows what's on our minds before they become words in our mouths. Jesus knows us like that and loves us. Jesus is God, and he demonstrates God's limitless passion for his sheep. God has always loved the sheep, and he will always love his sheep. Again in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11, "He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep." He doesn't love us because of our nature and actions, but despite our nature and actions, which have caused us to wander away from him, like lost sheep, to cause us to wander away from his love for us. All this would have sounded wonderful to the Jews who were listening to Jesus, who should have understood this connection with God as his flock, because that's how Israel was always described. So they would have understood the connection. But Jesus throws a spanner in the works when he goes on to say in John 10:16, "I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold, and I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice." You don't have to sort of read too far to see what he's saying there. "And so there will be one flock and one shepherd." Now, up until that point, the people were happy with what Jesus was saying. But this is a reference to the Great Commission to evangelize the world. This is a reminder that God's plan has always been to include the Gentiles. The desire of God for unity in diversity reflects his nature as a Trinity. The desire of Jesus for the existence of one flock under one shepherd is reflected in his prayer in John 17, where he says, "I ask not only on behalf of these," his disciples, "but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one." Jesus is the good shepherd because he knows and loves his sheep, and he has their best interests at heart, over and above his own interests. And he would do anything to demonstrate that love. And God loves the Son because Jesus loves the sheep. John 10:17, "For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again." And there we have the answer to the question that we might ask, namely, how can Jesus possibly be our good shepherd and lead us and guide us through life if he's dead? If he has laid down his life for us, how can he then be our good shepherd? Well, Jesus is much more than the great sacrifice for sin who saves us from eternal death. He is our good shepherd who gives us abundant and eternal life. He both saves and gives because he both died and rose again. He can be both because he both gave his life and took it up again. Life and death are in his control as the powerful Son of our powerful God. John 10:18, "No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again." And that phrase, "no one takes it from me," is very important. It's important since many modern scholars take the view that Jesus was just outgunned by his opponents and simply submitted to the inevitable without any choice in the outcome. That's not what the Apostle John believed about Jesus, and that's not what the Apostle John wants us to believe about Jesus. As he says at the end of his book, this is designed to help you believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you might have life in his name. Jesus was not overpowered by his opponents. He was driven by his desire to seek and to save the lost sheep who had wandered away from God. Just as the darkness does not overwhelm Jesus as the light of the world, so too death does not overwhelm Jesus as our good shepherd. By giving his life, Jesus pays for our sin, and by taking up his life again, Jesus defeats death. Remember, all this is happening in the context of Jesus' conversation with the Pharisees about who is the true light, who is the true guide, who is the true leader, who is the true shepherd of Israel. Who has the real power here? Is it the self-professed sons of Abraham or the Son of God? John wants us to see and to know that Jesus is the powerful Son of God. He wants us to put our faith and trust in Jesus and to receive eternal life. So what is our response then to this claim of Jesus to be the Good Shepherd? Will we, as he says, we should as his sheep, will we listen to his voice and follow him even through dark valleys, as we heard about in our prayers this morning? Even through this time when now the weather's bad, it actually is a rather ordinary day. The weather's rather ordinary, as they say. Will we listen to him? Will we follow him even through these dark valleys as we journey to God's house to dwell with him forever? Or will we ignore his voice and continue to wander away from our loving God? That's the question at issue here. We've seen that Jesus is the bread of life, but as the bread of life, we must eat from the bread to receive the benefit he offers. We've seen that Jesus is the light of the world, but as the light of the world, we must walk in that light to receive the benefit he offers. Jesus is saying, "I am the good shepherd," but we must listen to his voice and follow him to receive the benefit he offers. John wants us to respond positively to Jesus. But he knows not everyone will. As on previous occasions, the crowd listening to Jesus was dazed and confused. John 10:19, again the Jews were divided because of these words. Many were saying, "He has a demon and he's out of his mind. Why listen to him?" And others were saying, "Well, these are not the words of one who has a demon. And can a demon open the eyes of a blind man?" Now, this is not the only time that people accuse Jesus of being out of his mind. It happens again in Mark 3:21. And this is not the only time people accuse Jesus of being in league with the devil or with demons. That happens again in Matthew 12:24. People will likewise say hurtful and untrue things about us if we choose to listen to and to follow the voice of our good shepherd. Jesus predicts that. He even promises such persecution for those who follow him. And John reminds us of Jesus' words of encouragement in John 15:18-20. "If the world hates you, be aware that it hated me before it hated you. Remember the word that I said to you, servants are not greater than their master." And perhaps today we could also say, "Sheep are not greater than their shepherd." Jesus goes on to say, "If they persecuted me, they will persecute you." Which brings us to a very important question that faces each one of us today. Will the voice of our persecutors drown out the voice of our shepherd? Before we say, that'll never happen to us, remember what happened to the disciples. Remember what happened to Peter. This conversation happened after the Last Supper in the Garden of Gethsemane. Matthew 26:31. "Then Jesus said to them, 'You will all become deserters of me this night, because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I am raised up, and I will go ahead of you to Galilee.' And Peter said to him, 'They'll all become deserters because of you. I will never desert you.' And Jesus said to him, 'Truly I tell you, this very night, before the cock crows in the morning, you will deny me 3 times. And Peter said to him, 'Even though I must die with you, I will not deny you.' And so said all the disciples, and so say all of us." But when the persecutors came, the disciples fled. And when Peter was challenged about his allegiance to Jesus, the voice of the persecutors drowned out the voice of his good shepherd. And he denied his Lord 3 times. So let me ask you again to consider the very important question, will the voice of your persecutors drown out the voice of your good shepherd? Will you join me in prayer that we might continue to listen to and to follow the voice of Jesus? Heavenly Father, we stand in awe of your power, and yet you enable us to stand with confidence in your presence because of your great love for us, which you demonstrated when Jesus, our good shepherd, laid down his life for us. Lord God, you know our desire is to listen to the voice of Jesus and to follow him, but you also know how much we struggle with the pressure to conform to the worldly view of those who would persecute us. Forgive us when we fail, and strengthen us to persevere in trusting, Jesus as we seek to follow his voice. We ask these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour, and Good Shepherd. Amen.
Thank you, Eric. It's now time for our next song, Guide Me, O Thou Great Redeemer. Please be seated.
I'm glad you liked that one. Appropriately, that song came from Songs of Praise.
Please take a seat. Time for notices.
Notices. Here we go. I looked at the list of people having birthdays. It's almost too long to give before next week starts. No, there's only five. One of them is Imogen, who is having her birthday today and still turned up and prayed for us in that way. We are, again, grateful to God for that. I mean, you could have slept in and had breakfast in bed or something on your birthday, but like you normally do. I mean, no, come on. If you can be mocked by us, you're one of us. So, Imogen's birthday today, Margaret Ireland on the 10th, Robert Gowing on the 16th, Jane Bloomer on the 22nd, Gail Bragg on the 23rd. It's a big month. Let's pray for those people. Father, we do thank you that as a family we share in family celebrations, rejoicing with those who rejoice. For whatever number of days you've given these people, we thank you for them and for the number of days you've given us to share fellowship with each other. We thank you for that, to be able to be mutual encouragers in our faith and walk with Jesus. We thank you for that, and we pray that we will be not only recipients of your blessings, but also encouragers of others to join in sharing our gifts with each other, that we might be built up in our faith and our trust and our walk with our good shepherd. So we thank you for these people and pray that you will bless them on their birthdays and that they will have many more in Jesus' name. Amen. We believe Julie's gone. And as she arrived safely, you're going to give a report?
No, I have a notice.
You have a notice, okay. Is it about Julie?
Yes.
Well, then come up and give it.
It's not.
That's all right. We don't care. It was a short sermon. We've got time. So Julie got off okay, even with all the problems at airports? And
no.
Good. She got there on time.
Well, I was just going to mention that too, because I'd asked Sue and that Julie's arrived safely, so praise God for that. That's wonderful. And the last newsletter from Julie, I have some printed out here for anyone who wants them printed out, and also if you want to be put on email list for it, just let us know. Thank you.
No problem. Anyone else got... You got one? Grace's birthday Friday. We'll write that down. You got a pencil? I suppose you want your own prayer for her as well now. Yes. Okay. Father, what he said. Amen. No. Father, we do thank you for children as well, that we are greatly encouraged by their ability to trust in you and the way that Jesus says that we should come with the faith of children. So thank you for the way that they lead and guide us into a deeper relationship with you as well. And we pray that for grace that you would bless her on her birthday in Jesus' name. Amen. Julie, okay,
Parish Council.
Parish Council's tomorrow night at 7 p.m. We're changing our time earlier. The Southern Cross arrived outside the front door and got wet, so we can't give you a hard copy of it, but it's always available on our website if you look far enough and deep enough into the...
We could call it a soft copy because it's quite wet.
Here I was saying, yes, I've done nothing... If I've done nothing else in my time here, I've taught people to tell bad jokes. No Bible studies in the next 2 weeks because it's school holidays. We're having a break, which is good. It makes you hungry for them when we get together again. And coming up, Sundays... we have 5 Sundays in July. So the 5th Sunday in July, we've done Christmas in July. We're not going to do that this year. We're going to go and use that Sunday as a opportunity to have what we sometimes call Retro Sunday, which is an opportunity to go way, way back to the 1662 prayer book and celebrate communion as it was many, many years ago. And so that will be an extra communion on the 5th Sunday, the 31st of July, Retro Sunday. You can wear hats and gloves. I'm not, but you can. And that's all I have. Anyone else got anything they want to share?
Can we get an organ on that day? Get the organ playing.
Answer the question, Bev. You want to play on that day? Yes, she will. You can have hymns like good old hymns. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. We try to keep people equally disappointed every week, but on that one, we'll just disappoint half the people all the time. Yeah. That's fine. That's all we got.
Okay. Can join together with me. Father, take us and use us to love and serve you and all people in the power of your Spirit and in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
Before we play the last song, I'll just add the notice. My wife wanted me to apologise that she couldn't be here today. She's crook as a dog for one thing, and also Heather and the grandchildren are packing the car to leave to go back to Brisbane this morning. So for two reasons, she couldn't be here.
She's excused. Yeah. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ.
Amen. And so now it's the second version of the hymn, The King of Love, My Shepherd Is, as we leave.
You can either walk out or listen to it and then...